coming up on the Movie Review Crew podcast.
I am so disappointed in our group. You have all watched The Munsters. You have all. Let me explain to you what you've done. You have chosen to spend an hour and a half, I don't know how long it is, 2 hours, watching a Rob Zombie remake of The Munsters. What is wrong with all of you? All right, welcome in everybody to another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm going to be your host today, Shane Cronican, and joining me is Matt McNeil.
Hello.
And Aaron Cronican.
Hello.
And I am excited, I know you all are, because this is the start to our favorite month of the year.
It's horror. The most wonderful time of
it. It really is. It really, really is. I always get pumped for this time of year. For this reason, we're going to get into horror movies. Sometimes we get into some stinkers, but that's all right. That's all right. Today, we will be reviewing The Wailing, a South Korean horror movie from 2016. But before we do, Matt, have you seen anything lately? Anything new you want to talk about?
I've been watching a bunch of stuff. So I've been doing from September 1st through Halloween, I'm watching one horror movie a day. Or not necessarily horror, one Halloween themed movie a day. And I have watched some stuff from this year that I've not obviously seen before because they were released this year, obviously.
I know one of them. So tell me, Matt, what did you think of Hocus Pocus 2?
It's trash.
Actually, that's not the one I know. You actually watched? I haven't.
I watched it yesterday.
We're going to do this weekend.
It sucks.
Unfortunately, I shouldn't even say unfortunately. I don't care. I was never into that one. But unfortunately, for fans of the original, I've heard nothing but poor reviews. So that stinks for those that like the first one.
I think the first one's super overrated. Like people love that movie, but they look at it through the nostalgia glasses.
I agree. That movie
does not hold up.
It's fine. I've never loved it. I was not excited when they announced the sequel, but I know a lot of people were. So it's kind of a bummer it didn't. Live
it's like 20 something years later. Who asked for this, right?
The same thing with Top Gun, and it
a lot of people asked for it. Are you kidding me? There was excitement when that was announced.
It's no Halloween Town.
That's a movie that they need to bring, but don't bring that back.
No, they don't. That movie was significantly worse than Hocus Pocus. We don't need any more of it.
Without spoiling anything for Hocus Pocus 2, it hits the exact same story beats as Hocus Pocus 1 and recycles all the same jokes. So it's like watching Hocus Pocus 1, but now they're 20 something years older. So
did you just say without spoiling anything and then proceed to immediately spoil everything?
Yeah, I mean, you've already seen the movie. So.
unfortunately, I will have to sit through that one very soon.
I also watched just today, I watched a movie on Hulu called Room 203 that it was so boring. I can't even tell you what it was about.
Is that the documentary about The Shining?
No.
Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
It's about two girls that move into this like apartment.
That's a recent release.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It just came out recently on Hulu.
Yeah, that's on my list. And
don't watch it.
Yeah, I'm glad you just took it off my list.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the most boringest, dumbest movie I've seen since watching The Munsters, which is actually the dumbest, boringest, most incoherent, but it's like incoherent in the best possible way. Like it's like a,
I am so disappointed in our group. You have all watched The Munsters. You have let me explain to you what you've done. You have chosen to spend an hour and a half. I don't know how long it is, 2 hours. Watching a Rob Zombie remake of The Munsters.
What is wrong
with all of you?
I had to do
that's, it. Okay, no, see, that's the problem I have with it. It's not a remake. It's mostly pointless. It feels like
mostly it's entire. No, it's like a prequel to the TV show.
And there's nothing happens. And then by the time it starts to where it's like, okay, now I'm somewhat mildly in the least bit interested, and then it's like, oh, it's over. Like, that's the part. I don't want the whole backstory for an hour and a half until they get to the monsters part. Yeah.
The reason that the monsters was a good show is because they were already the monsters. We don't need to know how they got there. They're just there.
And like,
honest, I've never seen the monsters. I had no interest in a remake of the monsters. And I especially have no interest in ever watching a Rob Zombie movie again.
You have to do it.
I'm not going to.
But it's such a spectacular failure that, like, it's like looking at a train wreck. Like, you don't want to watch it, but you can't help
yourself. I've seen all of Rob Zombie's other movies. Not all of them. I've seen enough to where I'm like, no, I'm literally never going to watch a movie.
Yeah, but Zombie's thing is awful, over the top, gory, stupid movies, not comedies. Why did they think he would be the one to do
this? Wrote and directed it. I think this was just his passion project.
Yeah. And there's so many moments where, you know, he's like, yuck, yuck, that'll be funny. And it's just like, good God, what are you doing?
It honestly, it kind of felt like sitcom humor, but not funny like the actual monsters was.
Yeah.
And Shane, let me just paint you a picture. Okay. So there's a scene in this movie where Herman and Sherry Moon Zombie go on their honeymoon to France, and you can tell that they're just in a giant empty warehouse with a tiny little stage because everything
green
is echoing
behind
it's
them.
So fun. No, there's not even green. Like they built a set.
They built the set for the sides of the street, and everything behind them is just an awful CGI background of Paris.
I thought it was like a matte painting.
It could be. Whatever it was, it looked awful. And it's just echoing. It's like they're trying to yell so that the mics can pick it up. And it's just this hollow echo. Oh,
it's so spectacularly bad.
We'll never watch
that. It's my number one movie of the year.
Your number, I believe it. No, I believe
no,
it.
I'm kidding. That's it's the number. It's you my. It's my number one worst movie of the year. And then I also watched they did a remake. It was an Amazon original. They made
No.
What?
That's out.
Good Night, Mommy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I saw that trailer. I guess I didn't realize that was already out. I thought that was something coming soon.
And it's a completely unnecessary remake. It doesn't.
Well, of course
it's like the Western, like the Americanization of Funny Games. Like, there was no point to it. It's the same movie.
The point is because people won't watch it if it's not English. So they're like, hey, here you go. Same thing.
It's what's her name? Winona Ryder? Is that the one? Is that the lady who's in that?
No, Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts. That's right. That's what it is. I'm bad with
Winona Ryder. I'm definitely not watching it.
I'm bad with names, but Naomi Watts was good in it. But like,
she always is. I absolutely respect her, but I don't even. Hearing that was coming out, my first thought was, what's the point?
What is it going to do differently?
Nothing.
They didn't do anything differently. Like, right. You could literally, so people didn't have to read the movie.
Those American remakes do that. It's like nothing new. It's just a worse version of what's already been made. They just needed to make it with the English language.
But it's, I guess, in their defense, I would venture that general audiences probably have not heard of or seen the original version. So to them, probably, they see this trailer. It's they don't know it's based off of a foreign film. So maybe they're interested. Maybe they go see it. I don't know. But I've seen the original. I wasn't particularly impressed with the original. It was fine.
Nope.
So I'd have no interest in the English
version.
If you
want to watch a good performance, there's that. But it doesn't reinvent the wheel or anything.
When these American remakes of respected or good horror movies, foreign horror movies come out, I immediately dismiss them just because the track record is so terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's, for the most part, I agree with you.
But sometimes this isn't necessarily horror, but The Departed is an adaptation of a foreign film. There's times that it works.
You mean
The Padded?
Yeah, right. Sorry, The Departed.
The Ring comes to mind.
That's one of the only like good westernizations of a foreign horror movie.
Let Me In is a decent, it's nowhere near as good as Let the Right One In.
That's
but
a stretch.
It's a decent, it's a decent movie.
That's a stretch.
Anyways, anything else you saw?
Not that's new. I watched Final Destination again because I love that movie. I love that movie.
That's a stretch.
So, I love that. It's that movie's so stupid, but I love it anyway. John Denver is the Herald of Death. It's great.
I can only imagine that it has not aged well.
Oh, it's like peak 90s. It's fantastic. It's on HBO. I dare you to give it a revisit, Aaron.
No thanks.
Please do it for me.
Nope.
Aaron, what have you seen? Anything worth mentioning?
I also watched The Munsters. Everything he says is just terrible. I don't know. It's colorful. There's the positive thing about it.
That is true. There's a lot of color.
I also watched a Netflix movie. I think you watched it, Shane, called Lou.
I didn't hear you. What? Which one?
Lou. L-O-U. Oh, yeah. Netflix just came out.
It was
mostly
fine.
I just felt like I don't know. I felt like they wanted it to be this really cool reveal and this surprising thing. And it's just like, okay, whatever.
I saw it coming a mile away. It was a good performance by the main actress. A very surprisingly bad performance from, I can't think of the guy that plays the.
It's the guy from where he's the. Dang, I can't remember the. Yeah,
I can't remember his name. He's usually pretty
good.
Knock
off Tom Hardy, whatever his name is.
Yeah, yeah. And he's usually pretty good and was surprisingly just kind of hammy and overacty in that one.
Yep. Anyways, speaking of god-awful movies, I watched the new Thor movie.
Oh, no.
Listen, I had to because...
You didn't have to.
Listen.
You didn't.
I had to.
Because you stopped saying I had to.
Christian Bale and Taika Waititi, it drew me in. I had to. And my God, it's horrendous.
Aaron, I hate to be the one to have to tell you this, but Christian Bale's kind of an overrated actor.
Okay, first of all, that's not even true.
He's a little bit.
No.
He's a little bit.
Not at all. He's the only good thing about that movie.
He has dropped off considerably since like 2002.
No.
I wouldn't say that. I would say my interest in the movies he makes have dropped off.
He's got
but
a
he's
few coming out
great
this year that look good. He's in a kind of horror about Edgar Allan Poe that seems kind of fun that's coming out soon. But anyways, Thor sucked. I mean, the comedy, it took the whole goofy childlike comedy, the whole, you know, banter back and forth thing that Disney Marvel movies do, and it just took it to a new level of stupid. I'm sure. It's so bad. CGI is horrendous.
I haven't seen the movie, but it seems like comedy might not be the way to go when your main like plot is about
a god killer
having cancer.
Yes. Natalie Portman has cancer. Your main villain's this super serious guy that wants revenge on all gods because of this horrible thing that, I mean, Christian Bale's character was so good in the absolute wrong movie. I mean, God, it was just such a muddled mess. But anyways, yeah, moving on. Another terrible movie, Pinocchio.
Is that the Tim Burton one?
No. This is Robert Zemeckis.
Oh, because the Tim Burton Pinocchio, I'm a little interested by because it's
Tim Burton. No, not Tim Burton.
Isn't he? Because
Guillermo del Toro is.
Oh yeah. You're right.
That I think would be much
better. Stop motion animation. Yeah. Yeah,
which would probably take significantly more chances, risks as far as storytelling and narratives rather than a by the books Disney bullcrap starring bland ass Tom Hanks.
Yeah. No, that's why I had to.
You did. When I watch my terrible horror movies, I own it. I make the choice to sit down and watch the latest Bruce Willis action movies. I didn't have to.
Real quick, going through these. Okay, so then I watch two. These are the only good ones I watched this week. A movie called Vengeance that I had no interest in, but Steve said it was good, and it's written and directed by BJ Novak, I think his name is.
Yes.
Who from... I have been told is from The Office. I never watched The Office.
Yeah, he was Ryan the intern.
Right, sure. Ryan the intern from The Office apparently wrote and directed this movie, and man, it was surprisingly good. Like, I'm like really good, good. So definitely worth a watch. And then another surprisingly good movie, Nick Cage's movie from earlier this year, Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. I've been meaning to
see that.
Oh, I mean, it's just absurd in a way that shouldn't work. It's absurd, but it's so self-aware, and Nick Cage is in on the joke, making fun of himself and his career and what he's trying to do. And it's, but then it's wrapped in this story that it works well for, like, you know, in this goofy, ridiculous comedy, you feel for these characters, and somehow it all comes together, and it's just great. I loved it. So it's right now it's in the top 10. I'm not sure it's right on the outskirts of my top 10. So I don't know if it'll stay there, but
if I'm
hearing to get around to watching that before the year's over.
Tell me if I'm wrong. But what I'm hearing is you're
no, I'm not saying Nick Cage is the greatest ever. No.
Nick Cage is better than Tom Hanks. That's what you're telling me?
I believe it.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but to show you how self-aware and like making fun of himself this movie is. Nick Cage, the character of Nick Cage in this movie, is they're talking about how he's dressed for an event and he's got this giant belt buckle that's a tarantula. And he's talking about how the wardrobe people came up to him and they wanted to give him this belt buckle with a B. And he's like, and I looked at him and I said, no, the bees, not the bees, you know, making fun of his.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just so self-aware that it works the whole way through.
I'm sold.
Yeah, definitely watch it. But anyway, yeah, and actually, lastly, I watched a goofy horror called House of Darkness with Kate. What's her name?
Beckinsale?
No, Bosworth. Kate Bosworth and Justin Long. It's it just was too talky and not enough horror and it was, fun spooky elements.
It was like as good as a meh movie can be because it was interesting. They were all good in it. But it still just was.
That's all right. I have to believe that it was made during the pandemic.
Oh yeah, you can definitely tell.
Yeah, because it's just a few people in a room, and you could tell it's like, okay, we can't really go anywhere or do anything. It's just we're gonna stay here, and it just didn't work. They did a few little sequences that were fun, and then they cheapened it by saying, "Oh, sorry, dream sequence." Like, come on.
That's all right. Halloween Ends is about to be the greatest movie ever made, so.
Doubt it. But I will watch it.
It can't be worse than Halloween Kills.
Do you want to know something interesting? Sure. You mentioned the bees, oh no, the bees.
Yep.
House of Darkness was directed by the director of The
Wicked Man. Oh my God.
Yeah. Was it really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. So there is that. It's definitely a significant improvement over that one.
I don't know. The dialogue's just as hokey and unrealistic.
Yeah, but it's still good, I guess. I don't know. I enjoyed it. It was fine. It's definitely not going to be in my top five, but I didn't hate watching it.
Yeah.
I'll be quick with what I've watched. Started watching the Saw movies just to kind of revisit those. I've probably only seen the first three.
Those are the only three worth watching.
Well, yeah,
really, probably only the first two.
And even the first one, as much as I absolutely love James Wan, man, the music video style editing and the choppiness, it's
of its time for sure.
It definitely is. It's still good. It's still well made. It still has a great story and the twist is still phenomenal. And number two is very good, bringing in Donnie Wahlberg. Side note, Donnie Wahlberg's better than Mark Wahlberg. But bringing in Donnie Wahlberg.
Nobody's going to dispute that.
So, yeah, I'm having fun with revisiting that franchise. I don't believe I have talked about it on this show yet. If I have, sorry, it bears repeating. Everybody listening, including you two, need to go see Barbarian.
That, you know, actually, I might go see it this weekend. I was looking at movie
and times. Go in blind. I did not watch a trailer. I didn't read any reviews. I saw that it had a great
score. I feel like I'm being set up though for the last time I was told to go watch it.
First of all, Malignant's great.
No, I think you're gonna hate it, but go see it.
Listen, if you're already telling me that it's like the same level of bonkers as Malignant, say
it's
no
not.
More.
It's not. Like Malignant was just
stupid
on a whole new level. This takes some direction, and it's like unexpected, and it takes some directions that is just, it's wild.
Who's in that? Bill Skarsgård and.
I don't remember the woman's name, but Justin Long is in that one as well.
Justin Long, yeah, I knew it. Yeah. Okay, I just saw it because I looked him up after seeing House of.
And the woman in it is very good, and I don't want to. I'm not going to talk about anything about the movie, but because I truly want people to go see it blind, but I absolutely recommend it. It's probably in my top five.
See it blind.
I was going to make that same joke.
It is nuts. It's wild. It's a blast. It's very tense. It's a well-made movie. It's good. It's funny. It's tense. It's just wild. I absolutely recommend that one.
I might wait for it to hit streaming, but it's definitely on my list of movies to watch.
To give her credit, Georgina Campbell is the actress.
Yes, and she was very good in that movie. Very good. The other one I saw, going back to the Wahlberg family, I saw Father Stew.
Oh no.
And surprisingly.
Nope.
We don't want to hear it. Just
I liked it. Nobody believes you. I'm sorry, I liked it. I dug it. I thought Mark Wahlberg would was fine in it. I thought Mel Gibson was fine. He didn't have a huge part, but man, there were some scenes where he was just good.
I don't want to see can't act Mark Wahlberg and racist ass Mel Gibson in a movie together.
Yeah, well, then it's not your kind of movie, but I was surprised to find that I liked it as much as I did. So there's that. I mean, it's not going to be in my top 10, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was good. I thought Mark Wahlberg was surprisingly not horrible.
You can't say good, just not horrible.
He was good in moments. He was definitely good in moments.
I don't even believe that. I've never seen him good.
Never.
Aaron's
not
never
even
out of padding.
No.
Stop.
Okay, in The Departed, where he was fine because they were just like, hey, Mark, do you Boston?
Yeah, thing? Just play like a hard-ass Boston guy and cuss a lot. And he was like, can do, bro.
I mean, the one shining example of the limits of his talent is The Fighter, where, I mean, it's like one of the best performances of all time with Christian Bale, and he's just trying to keep up, and it's pathetic.
Fine. He's a fine actor.
You said The Happening
wrong,
and also John Leguizamo instead of
Christian Bale. True. He's up against John Leguizamo and... Zoe Deschanel, whatever.
Speaking of John Leguizamo, I want to transition from what we've watched to what I'm definitely watching come December. Did you guys watch the trailer?
I did.
Violent Night, themed Santa Claus oriented action movie.
That movie looks so stupid, and I can't wait.
Oh my god, it looks absolutely phenomenal. The one liners, David Harbour as Santa Claus. Whooping ass, covered in blood, stabbing people with candy canes that he sharpens by sucking on it. That movie looks so good. He said in the trailer, he said, get ready for some season's beatings. I have not been excited for a movie this year. I can't tell you how excited I am for that movie.
But Shane, have you seen the trailer for the Winnie the Pooh horror movie though?
Yes, I have, and I will be watching that. But that doesn't excite me as much as Violent Night. But absolutely, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, I think it's called.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I can't wait.
Absolutely in for that one.
That's gonna be great.
Are we there then? Are we ready to just get into
let's do it.
The Wailing.
We are going to be discussing The Wailing, a 2016 horror movie from South Korea. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 99% from critics, giving it an 8 out of 10. 99%. Wow. Holy cow.
I didn't look, but that's really high.
Well, yeah. But that's just like 99% of critics saying it's fresh, which is not surprising. It spoiler alert, but no matter what you feel about this movie, it's definitely a fresh movie. Audience gives it an 82%, giving it an 8 out of 10. So same score out of 10. Jeez, 8 out of 10 for both. That's interesting.
And 7.4 on IMDb.
Yeah.
So right there. I mean,
yeah.
I did not think that the scores were going to be for this movie. I didn't think it was going to be that high.
No.
The critics, the audience score surprises me more than the critics. The critics' consensus. The Wailing delivers an atmospheric, cleverly constructed mystery whose supernatural thrills more than justify its imposing length.
I slightly disagree with that. I think the movie is about 45 minutes too long.
Yeah,
I disagree slightly. I'm just going to come out and say it now. This movie didn't hit for me. I didn't like it. There, I said it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't hate you for saying it. Like I didn't dislike the movie, but I didn't love it either. Like this is a weird one. This is a weird one for me.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into it. I want to read. So on Rotten Tomatoes, there is one and only one rotten review for this movie. To give him credit, it's from Jeff Beck from The Blue Spot. And he says, The Wailing features some fine direction from Na Hong Jin, gorgeous cinematography, and an intriguing mystery. But it all ends up being smothered in an excessive 157-minute runtime that the story simply can't fill.
Yeah.
And he doesn't give it a bad score. He gives it a 3 out of 5, which ends up being rotten. So, it's not like he gives it a terrible score, but I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, no, he definitely hit the nail on the head.
Like,
Because my thoughts are, nobody was surprised at any point during this movie in the directions they took it, the story. Well, I mean,
before we get into first thoughts, let me go through the cast here real quick. This was directed by Na Hong Jin, as I mentioned in that negative review. This is only his third movie, but I guess he's gotten some recognition in South Korea for the things he's done. Starring Kwak Do-won as Jung-gook, the main detective. I think it's probably pronounced Jun Kunimura, the Japanese man. That's what he's credited as.
And isn't it nice Woo Hee-chun as the mysterious woman?
What's that?
I said, isn't it great not having Mike here trying to say these names?
Yeah. Hawan. Is that a good Mike?
Mike, you're back.
Mike's not here, so we're gonna try to get through these. There's honestly not a whole lot of main players in this.
It's a small cast.
Yeah, there's Kwak Do-won as the main detective. As I mentioned, there's the Japanese man, Woo Hee-chun, the mysterious woman, shows up here and there. Hwan Hee Kim is Hyo-jin, the daughter. Really, it all comes down to Kwak Do-won, though. It's kind of his show. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, he's the main character.
He is, and that's... I don't want to get too far into it right now, but yeah, he's the main guy. Yes.
So let's start with first impressions. First of all, have you seen this? And
nope.
Okay. So this is your first watch. What did you think of it?
Kind of like I said, I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. I thought it was definitely too long for the story that it was telling, but it's a well-made movie. It looks good. The acting is fine. I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again, because the whole thing boils down to, is it this person or is it this person? And we all know it's this person. I don't know why they try to swerve and say, no, it might be this person that everybody knows. Like everybody, we figured it out like an hour into the movie.
That's my biggest problem. Yes, I mean, it's
because so that's what makes long. It feel so long. Is and like
there's no surprises ever.
When it's I just... know at the 60 minute mark or before then, what the ending is, and I still have 2 hours left for them to figure it out, that's an issue.
And they're all piecing it together at a glacier pace.
It just
I didn't particularly like the acting from the main guy. I thought the emotional parts for me in this entire movie did not work. I didn't feel a thing. mostly because it just was so. And I know you guys say this every time, that the Asian culture, that's what happens in these types of movies. It is more over the top and overly dramatic and like borderline soap opera. It just doesn't work for me. It drives me nuts how uneventful these, what should be emotional scenes are because of it.
In this movie, you're absolutely right. Like, because my whole thing was, I was comparing the relationship to of the father and daughter in this movie to the relationship of the father and daughter in Train to Busan. And it's like, it's not even close. It's not even close.
That's not a fair comparison, but so my first impression, I had not seen this either. I chose this. I didn't even know what it was about. I just was looking for horror movies, and I saw the 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. So I figured we'll give it a go. So I had no clue what this was even about going in. I kind of mirror all your same thoughts. It's definitely too long, as I mentioned before. But I think what also was kind of throwing me off is the tone. The tone is just odd. I don't know if it's intentionally funny. This reminded me a lot of, Matt, you weren't on the episode, and so have you seen Memories of Murder, another South Korean horror movie?
I have not seen that one.
So that was by Bong Joon-ho, and we watched that not too long ago with Dudley, I believe.
Yeah.
And the tone of this, the look of this, everything about this movie, frankly, reminded me a lot of that, where it's, there's comedy in situations that are just,
yes, it's odd. Such a serious the movie, tone was, and just, then they're just such buffoonery and mixed in.
Like, if you would have told me this was directed by Bong Joon-ho, I would have believed you, because it's filmed very well. It looks phenomenal. The actors are good. It's just not, you know, our culture's idea of what good is. But the tone is just like spot on of what Bong Joon-ho's movies are, where it's just odd.
That threw me off. You'll never convince me that that is possible, to mix slapstick with a serious horror slash murderer slash thriller. I mean, it interrupts entirely every time it happens. I mean, it's just, frustrating because this was on my list of movies I've wanted to see since I heard about it years ago. And I'm upset because of how much I did not like it.
Yeah. I thought this was a completely different movie going into it. I thought this was the one from the guy who did Train to Busan, where it's like the zombie samurai fighting movie. I can't remember the name of that one. I don't know what
you're talking about, but I need to see that.
Can't remember the name of it, but I thought it was this one, but it's not, this is not it. But yeah, it is so weird, because like, I don't really know what else to say about it. We've kind of already addressed everything. Like, what I wish they would have done, and now, you know, obviously it's not what they did, so we're just getting into what ifs, but like, if they would have revealed the, in air quotes, mystery of who was what earlier on, and then made like the third act them like dealing with it, I think that would have made for a more interesting story. Basically, spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen the movie yet, the old Japanese man that shows up, that everybody's like, he's evil, turns out he's evil.
Okay, so let's get into the story then. Let me just kind of give a rundown of the story according to IMDb anyways. So soon after, a stranger arrives in a little village, that stranger being the Japanese man. A mysterious sickness starts spreading. A policeman drawn into the incident is forced to solve the mystery in order to save his daughter. So basically, these people in this village are getting sick. They're murdering their entire family. And this police officer, detective, whatever he is trying to figure out why, what's happening. And a lot of people are pointing to this Japanese man just because of the timing of his arrival.
And I don't remember, because I watched it on Saturday, and then we didn't record Sunday, and now it's Wednesday. So I don't remember if they actually explained like why.
No.
They didn't. No. Okay, I didn't think they did.
He shows up,
he's the devil, he's cursing these people for no reason. Like,
yes. Why? Oh, that's so, I mean, why about everything? That's part of the emotional hook of this final act, is this mysterious ghostly woman, whether she's a ghost or not, whatever she is, that's fine, is telling him, don't go to your daughter, this and that. Why? But what are the emotional stakes? What is hanging in the balance here? What, you know, anything, give me some sort of, I don't know what the right word is, but context for why we need to make, why is this obviously very, very important decision? Why? All it is if you make this decision one way, bad things will happen. And he doesn't know who to trust. He doesn't know who to believe. And if she is there to help, why not tell him more? Why not tell him why? Why not explain it further so that he can make an educated decision? I mean, the whole thing was so frustrating because of that. Why? Why is it happening? And then they try to touch on that and they're like, well, you know, why did he choose my daughter? Well, he didn't. She's vulnerable. He just, you know, cast his, like a fisherman, cast his line out, and that's what he caught. Okay, pointless. It's 3 hours long. You got to have more than that.
Yeah.
I just, there was such little to connect to in this movie that it was, I think I'm overly upset because of how much I wanted to like it.
All right, so let's get into specifics a little bit then, to try to figure out exactly where this movie went wrong for us. Let's talk about acting first. What did you have any issues with any of their performances?
Yes. I already said that.
I don't know if it's necessarily an issue with the performances or if it's just the writing.
Or the tone that the director was going for.
Mine was definitely the performance.
Really? Because I didn't think he did bad. I just thought it was his character was just kind of a oaf that had no business being a cop and was just kind of stupid.
I think it comes down to the, I don't know. I understand that the difference between drama in what I'm used to seeing in American movies and drama in Asian movies is different. It feels like overacting. It feels, I mean, we talked about Nick Cage. It feels like Nick Cage yelling and screaming. It just,
there's nothing wrong with that.
It's bad. It's in my opinion, I guess, because obviously it's a subjective thing, but I hated it. It just was hammy. And it was written poorly. That character drove me nuts. Everything about
the character. The character wasn't great. I thought, so, okay. Let's switch from acting then to talk about specific scenes. Well, obviously, you didn't like a lot of it, but were there any that did work for you?
The initial scene when they first, again, this is following just more buffoonery with a guy that led them to the Japanese man's hut in the mountains. And he's acting like a buffoon and gets hit by lightning and whatever. And then they go back.
I forgot about that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so then they go back. But when they initially are searching his hut, I mean, it's good atmosphere. It's like slow take, long takes of them looking into this guy's house. And at first it seems fairly normal. And then they find that room behind that has all of the different articles of clothing and whatever, the pictures of the victims and this altar with these candles burning and the demonic symbols and these strings. It was almost like scenes from the movie Seven, where you just got these creepy, dimly lit rooms.
Yeah, the atmosphere was very good.
Happened
at a lot of times.
Even
of the crime scenes that they would roll up to with just, you know, mangled bodies or burnt buildings and just these people covered in boils and their eyes whited out.
The
and,
very first scene that he went to, that the guy's just sitting there handcuffed with his white fogged over eyes and this nasty boils of some sort of sickness, and there's just blood everywhere. I mean, that's what I mean. In a movie that is this serious and has that kind of tone most of the time, it's just a disservice to throw in. It's like a Disney movie where they're like, oh, we need this comedy here.
Do taking something a break. Stupid. Yeah, I mean, yes, that's what really killed it for me, because there were a lot of scenes I really, really did enjoy. I mean, like we just mentioned, the crime scenes, I guess was it an exorcism, whatever ritual that shaman was doing. I thought that scene was very good.
That's probably the standout scene, where it's like flipping between him and the Japanese guy, and they're each doing their own ritual. And it just keeps cutting back and forth between them. That's probably the best scene in the movie for me.
Yeah. And I read actually that the actor that played the shaman did that ritual. It was all one long take. Obviously in the movie it was not, but he just, you know, they kind of said action and he just did that ritual as one long take. So that's impressive. But yeah, I mean, they're individually within this 8 hour long movie, there's
scenes getting longer.
Right? Within this 14,
it's only 2.5 hours.
There were scenes that worked really, really well, and I think the story, the general story, without getting into the specifics of why that story didn't work, but the general story is a good one. An interesting one that a very good movie could have been based around.
Yeah, I think the issue just comes down to the runtime on it. Like that's main
a thing. Huge issue, and that's coming from I know I am, and I know Aaron is. All of us here, we're not typically people that gripe about runtime for the sake of it.
And that's why,
if it justifies the runtime, fine.
That's it.
Yeah.
The runtime is not the issue. It's how that runtime is used.
Right. It's like, we all watched a 3 hour long Batman movie and didn't complain at all.
Right. Yeah.
The issue is that, like, at around the hour mark, you already know where the movie's going.
Yes.
And then it just drags its feet for another hour and a half. And
next hour and a half, you're hoping and praying for answers, or not even, it doesn't have, they don't have to come out and give me answers, but something more,
some sort of sense, some sort of, we don't need answers, but we need this movie to not just constantly contradict itself and go back on things that it's already covered and bring this up for no damn reason at all.
Right. Like, I don't necessarily need to know the why. Like, we never get answers in The Witch. Like, it's that there's a witch in the woods,
right,
and that she's doing witchy things. Like, that's all there's a sickness going around town. This old Japanese guy might be the devil. Let's just work with that. Like, you can cut out, like, they go back to his house like 4 or 5 times, and you don't you don't need to keep going. Like, just have him go back the one time, and they confront him.
Definitely could have been streamlined.
Move on to the last like 15 minutes of the movie, where the lady approaches him and they have that final like tense moment, like, don't go to your daughter, stay here until the three, because I set a trap and blah, 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 blah.
I just don't understand that last scene, though. So the whole thing is like, he doesn't know who to believe. He doesn't know which one's the ghost and which one's doing this evil stuff, even though we as the audience have known it for 14 hours so far.
Hold on, though, because you could make the argument that they tried to pose it that I hate calling him the Japanese man. Is this
he's credited as?
Right, but this movie's kind of like I shouldn't even say kind of. This movie's pretty blatantly xenophobic. Like,
Koreans super hate
Japanese people, so they constantly call him the Jap, and he's literally the devil. Like, I mean, we can't just give it a pass for that, right?
No. yeah, they literally made the one Japanese man rolls into town and ruins their village. Right. And he's devil. I mean, it's not.
I only have a vague understanding of the contentious relationship between Japan and Korea, but this is Korea just basically saying, like, Japanese people literally are the devil.
I can understand their sentiment, because like the Japanese have done horrible things to the Koreans.
That's what there's a long history time ago. I get it, but it's just blatant. Like, they just call him the Jap, and he's the devil. Anyways, we can move on. I don't want to give it a pass for that.
It would make more sense if it were a period piece, but it's not. It takes place in present day. So that's a little weird.
Yeah, I didn't mean to sidestep onto that topic, but it couldn't be over. It shouldn't be overlooked. That's odd. I don't even remember what the hell is. Oh yeah, so basically they try to make it seem like the Japanese man is not the bad guy. This woman is, and he was trying to stop her. She's the ghost, and so I guess they do try to make you question your perception.
Again, they do that in the scene where she's telling him to not go to his daughter. Like, it comes at the end of the movie, they try to pull that swerve, and it's like, you're not fooling anybody, movie. We already know.
Right, right.
Yeah, in that scene, though, so the whole idea is I don't know. The fact that, I guess I just don't understand what the point is of that scene, because he even says, you know, what have I done, and what is my great sin that this is happening, and she's like, oh, you killed that Japanese man. And then it's like, okay, he's literally the devil and not dead, by the way. I mean, I don't understand why.
And right. Why, yeah. That's
come out and say, you know, like
in one sentence, she says, no, he's not dead. He can't die. And he was like, so what did I do wrong? And she was like, yeah, you killed him. And it's like, hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right.
If they wanted to give us more mystery around it, don't show him in the woods attacking people. It's that easy. Like you spell it out that he's the bad guy, and then you try at the very end of the movie to say, oh, maybe he's not the bad guy. We've seen him eating multiple like corpses and attacking people in the woods.
Well,
like
but they did show that to their credit. They showed that as a way that's mostly like, urban legends created by these townspeople, right, and you don't know if that's as actual dream
sequences type of deal.
Yeah,
so I get that. I just think this is a simple story made overly complicated and way too long.
Yeah,
and that's about all it boils down to.
Yeah,
I mean, there are a lot of good moments. There are visuals that are fantastic. But just as a whole, it's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
And that's maybe what the thing is. It's like, we've said this about other movies. It's like, what are you trying to say? Like, this is a pretty stock horror.
They're trying to say story. Japanese people bad. That's
I think that's it. I feel like that's gotta be it.
And they keep talking about, they bring up, because I think one of the themes they were trying to explore is perception and you know, making judgments based on your perception, and they try to explore that, but it never explores it or amounts to anything that makes any sort of sense, especially when your perceptions are right.
Right. Like, the whole time.
Is the moral racist of the story like, hey, you know how you don't trust outsiders and you hate them because they might be the devil? You're right. Trust that instinct. Is that the Brady Bunch moral of the story we're supposed to take away?
It's basically, it's like Men, right? Like the whole purpose of that movie is men bad, and like, yeah, but you don't have to spend this long just wrap it up already.
Right. I feel like they thought there was more to say when this is a pretty basic horror concept.
This, and the emotional stakes just don't, they keep driving home this whole father-daughter thing, and none of it worked for me because we hardly ever saw the father with the daughter in any meaningful way.
Right. Like, anytime he's around her, he seems kind of annoyed.
Yes.
And then he has these flashbacks of like these great times, and we never saw those great times at any point before that.
And he, at the end, he's all, you know, laying there dying and saying, right, I'll always protect you, I'm a cop. And it's like, you literally did nothing to protect her.
And that's why I couldn't help but make the comparison to Train to Busan, because they start off with a very similar kind of relationship, but at the end of Train to Busan, he has done a complete redemption of his character, and it like protects his daughter and sacrifices himself for her. And yeah, like you feel that emotional impact, and here it's just like, he's annoyed with her the whole time.
And then
she kills everybody.
The father-daughter relationship thing, there's no reason it shouldn't work. It's so easy to do. I mean,
you're right.
It's a parent's love for their child. And then this movie is just like, whatever. I mean, you're never home. It took me forever to realize that woman he was having sex with in the car was actually his wife in the middle of that child.
I didn't know at first.
I'm like, what is this? A cleaning lady or cheating something? By his daughter.
I don't know. Is that an Asian movie thing? Because the whole what was that Korean movie we watched with the serial killer?
Memories of Murder.
Memories of Murder. Yeah. Remember in that one, they had that odd relationship that it took half the movie to figure out what the actual relationship was and who she was. And it's like,
yeah, I don't know.
Get it.
Maybe I don't know. There was a lot of oddities. Maybe we missed some stuff in translation. I don't know. But I think our prevailing negatives still exist. I
will say I did a positive thing. The child actor in the movie was probably one of the best actors in the movie. Yeah, she was very good.
I agree.
This could have been a very good movie had it. You take the tone of those incredibly tense, slow burn moments that happened throughout this, and you put that throughout this movie on a simplified, significantly shortened version of this good versus evil, you know, something is killing this village and we have to figure it out. That story is good. It could be good.
Maybe, and that's what I think is so frustrating. Xenophobia. And what? Then I said, and take out the xenophobia.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, right. I don't know.
And I keep going back to this because this is what I need in a movie, but the emotional stakes, the consequences, the why of it all. I don't know. Maybe I did miss something, but the father-daughter thing didn't work. And I kept waiting for there to be some reveal, like this guy did something terrible in the past that
That girl was the mysterious woman was clearly a ghost, right? I mean, she was like wearing dead people's clothes for no reason at all.
Was she? I don't remember. Like, it seemed like she was just wearing like regular clothes.
Well, he was at least connecting it to the dead people because she had the daughter's hair. She was wearing the sweater from the woman that hanged herself.
Oh, I guess I didn't even notice.
Yeah, so he would like notice something about her and then it would flash one of the dead people. So she had all these belongings to these dead people for no reason other than to make you think, oh, maybe she is the killer. So I think this whole movie is this.
And maybe
this director just trying to purposely manipulate our perceptions with no meaning or reason behind it.
Maybe there's some like folklore stuff there that we just aren't privy to. Yeah. I don't know, but like it doesn't work for me.
Right. That's like why sure. I get. So here's going to be the answer to why is this evil happening? Well, why does evil happen to anything? Sure. Fine. Okay. You don't have to explain why the devil is killing this village. That's fine. What, who the hell is this woman ghost? Is she good? Why is she not like stepping in and be like, hey, that guy's literally the devil. Let's all do something about
it. Yes. I mean,
say that.
Right. And towards the end, why didn't she say that at the beginning when she just like kind of showed up as a crime scene witness?
Yeah. She like spent 5 minutes just throwing rocks at the guy, getting progressively closer to him. Like, and then she said, yeah, he's a ghost.
Yeah, I don't...
Like, she just spelled it out.
Those are the answers I want. I don't need answers as to why evil's happening. Evil happens, but I need answers as to the motives of the characters.
Yes.
That's what was killing me. Like, the shaman, what was his whole deal?
That he's a shaman.
Yeah, but why do you help the devil?
Because
I think that he... the way that I read into that is like he just made a mistake. Like he thought.
No, but at the end, he was actively helping this guy.
Like, yeah, he had the whole time through,
he was helping this guy. He was part of that side. Just throwing him off the.
I guess again, I completely missed that. I thought that he was just incompetent,
and that would have been fine. Because when I thought that was the case, okay, sure. Then they throw in for no reason that he's like helping the devil and actively participating in this. And it doesn't make any sense with his actions that have happened before. He hasn't been there before. As far as I thought, he was called from the big city, right?
The grandma called him.
So
it's well, and because he was
been there while all of this has been happening. Why is he connected to it all of a sudden?
No, it's all because it's that misdirection thing. Like he gets freaked out and starts driving back to, I think, Seoul.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway. And then you think, oh, gosh, he really is a scaredy. But the whole time, then they're like, oh, yeah, he was helping him. So it's like, you know, why would that scene even happen if he is fully aware of what's going on?
Those are my biggest gripes, besides the runtime that is unjustified. My biggest gripes are not answers, but answers as to motivations of the characters, because none of it makes sense. And just the blatant, pointless misdirection and meaningless misdirection by the director that just seems thrown in there just to make it twisty, I guess, and mm-hmm. and make us keep us on our toes. But it's like misdirection by misinformation is what it is.
Right.
It doesn't make for a good twist. It makes for a confusing
mess. At that, do we want to just go into ratings? Yes.
I think so. I think we're just going to keep kind of
talking in circles about
I'll go last. It was my pick. Who wants to go first?
I'll start it. Why not? I mean, I don't want to just like completely reiterate everything that we just said, so I'm just going to give my score. It's a 5. It's not the worst movie I've ever seen, but it definitely isn't anywhere near the other, and even just the other Korean horror movies that I've seen. Like you stack this up to Train to Busan, I Saw the Devil,
I Saw the Devil, yeah,
Parasite. Like this movie just is far and away worse than all of those. So I can't justify over a 5.
Yep, I actually that's right where I'm at is a 5. I thoroughly did not like this movie. I mean, from a filmmaking standpoint, it's shot well. The scenes are set up well. There are some good sequences within the actual, you know, murder mystery investigative thing, but then it just doesn't work. There's so many elements that don't connect well. It's like you have a 10 different puzzle pieces and not a single one connects to another one. It's so frustrating. So yeah, I'm at a 5.
Yeah. Aaron, can you look up? I want to give this the same exact score of what I gave Memories of Murder, because watching this, experiencing this movie, I had the same thoughts, the same feelings.
You gave it a 6.5.
Yeah. And so, and it's the same reasons that I gave for that one. This is an incredibly well-made movie as far as the filmmaking technique. Now, that movie was paced significantly better than this one.
That's a better movie.
Right. But the overall feeling is the same. It's very well made. I didn't mind the acting. It didn't hit emotionally. That's there's no doubt about that. But there's so many similarities. It didn't work tonally. It didn't work. It just didn't work.
That's the biggest, the tone. I mean, it's like having some slapsticky clown pie fight in the middle of Hereditary. I mean, it's just.
If I would have elevated that movie to a 10, what do you mean?
Right, so I would rather watch Memories of Murder, but I feel like I would not want to watch either. This is worse, I think. So I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay.
Don't worry, guys. I'm going to make it up for us next week.
Hopefully.
This was just a blind choice on a base of a 99% Rotten Tomatoes. You can't blame me.
I mean, I'm also making a blind choice, but mine's gonna be better.
Right. That brings the average score to 5.3, which is a D plus. Let me, before we get into this or that, let me ask you a question. We mentioned awful American remakes. Would you be interested in an American remake of this story?
No, I don't think so.
By a director that could possibly handle it better, streamline it?
No,
because there's nothing that really stands out that is that interesting to make this worth remaking.
Right. And in order to, like, if you're going to make this, like, who are they going to scapegoat? Right. Like, he can't do that. Especially not here. You can't do that.
Well, you just
another American that is an outsider. You don't have to make it about some races.
Right. It doesn't have to be. It just has to be an outsider. You know, say it's a small village and somebody just moved in. You know, they're.
How many of those paranormal outsider movies are there? You know, somebody rolls into town and bad things happen. Like, that's not. It's not original.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know.
So the answer is no. I would not.
I don't.
Let's, Aaron. You have a list for this or that, then?
Yes.
It's almost guaranteed that.
But I don't know. Yeah. We're at a range where we might be getting some.
There's some bad movies.
That's true.
I'll try to find some. Oh God. Okay. So this or Mother. The Darren Aronofsky.
Oh my
God. Oh, the one I made Brent watch. I didn't watch that.
So. I mean, because this is 8 hours long. That feels 8 hours long.
I'd probably watch that.
Of course you would.
I don't know. I cannot believe this is the exact same score, and it makes me sick. Suspiria 2018. I liked that movie a lot.
I would watch that.
Yeah, I mean, I would watch that over this, but I don't want to watch that again.
No.
I liked that movie. I don't understand the hate for that. How 5.3 for somebody gave it a 3.5?
That was probably Matt. Me. I hated that movie so much.
Man. Anyways, okay, so that I would go Suspiria. This or The Gray.
Oh, the gray all day.
And I think I go The Gray, even though
why is that so low? Who rated that?
I gave it a 4.5.
What?
Somebody gave it a 3. Let me see who that was.
It weren't me, because that was my pick.
Oh, that was back when John Lucas was on our podcast.
He gave it a 3?
He gave it a 3.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I really like that movie. I mean, it's not an amazing movie, but it's definitely higher than that.
Nah. I would probably, I don't know, pass.
You would not watch this over that.
Probably not, but I would hate watching The Gray. I would hate every minute of it. This or Dave Made a Maze, and I go with that.
Yeah, I have to, only because of
length. I wasn't on that. I didn't see it, so I don't have a horse in this race, but I would do anything to not watch this movie again.
Yeah, it's Dave Made a Maze is stupid, but it's short, I guess.
It's very stupid. This or the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That.
The original?
How is that so low?
That's a 5.5. Movie. That's a little bit higher. It's not a bad great movie.
It's not a good movie.
Oh, come on.
Somebody gave it a 4. Oof, who was that? Let me see here.
Probably you.
No, I gave it a 5.5. Mike gave it a 4.
I'm surprised you watched it.
But anyway, okay, let me see. Let me just try to find one more horror-ish movie. Oh, this one's easy for me. This or The Village, and I'm going
The Village.
A thousand times out of 1,000.
I actually like that one.
I will hold the vomit in my throat and watch The Village.
Damn, Matt gave it a 3 again. He's just out here handing out 3s for these movies I love.
You like bad movies? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's an indication of you, not him.
I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway, don't worry, you guys. Hellraiser comes out on Friday. We're gonna watch it. It's gonna be great. Don't worry about it.
I am excited for that.
I am skeptical, but who is it? David Bruckner is
the yes.
Movie? Man, I mean that first movie. What was that movie called with the guys in the woods and the? Oh, what was that called?
Man, your guys in the woods.
Yeah, it was called Guys in the Woods.
Yeah, Guys in the Woods. Remember that?
The classic.
He did The Night House, which was very good.
I've been meaning to watch that too.
The Ritual. Oh, that was such a surprise movie.
Yeah, for David Bruckner.
I loved that.
David Bruckner's on my short list of favorite horror directors.
He's the only reason I'm remotely interested in this Hellraiser movie. And
absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would have. Clive Barker is involved makes me excited.
Right, I think there's possibility for a good horror there. So I would have been interested in a remake anyways, but the fact that it is David Bruckner definitely just puts I'm seeing that like the day it comes out.
And the Dummy Mommy? Oh, sign me up.
Right. Hell no.
Hell yeah.
But anyway, yeah, stay tuned. Matt picks Hellraiser for next week. That is, we will see.
Matt, you should watch The Night House as preparation.
I will. It's on my list of movies to watch. I plan on watching it before the month is over. But you guys, as I said at the top of the show, I've been watching one horror movie a day from September 1st through Halloween, and I've been posting little blurbs on my Twitter, so you can go check that out. twitter.com/huskerling is my handle, or at huskerling, I guess, is my handle. If you want to see my opinions on all of the movies that I've watched so far. And then I also added you, Shane, to do the challenge too, but you don't check Twitter apparently.
Not often.
Not often. Hey, did you add me?
Are you on Twitter?
Hell no.
No, I didn't.
Matt, The Night House is actually available to watch.
Twittering.
To stream on HBO.
Yeah, it's
HBO
on HBO. Max. Yeah. It's on my list.
You should definitely do that for the Hellraiser episode. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
I may watch it tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, Hellraiser is definitely the day it's released. I'll be watching it on Hulu.
So yeah, that's kind of that ends this episode. Unfortunately, it turned into kind of a gripe fest, but that's just kind of the feeling that it was just a disappointment, unfortunately, the wailing. So I guess none of us would recommend it, especially at that runtime, I gather, right?
No.
I mean, if you want to do it, you're an adult.
If you want to put yourself through 2.5 hours that feels like 14 hours.
Right. I assume you're an adult listening to this, so I'm not going to tell you what to do, but we warned you.
Yeah, exactly. We told you so. When you hate it, we told you.
Average final score of 5.33. Again, that's a D+. So hopefully we rebound. Unfortunately, this tends to happen during horror month. We get some really low lows and some really high highs.
We only get some low lows because you guys have no taste.
When it comes back to me and I pick the Monster Squad, we'll get 9.5s and 10s and just seal it.
Please don't pick the Monster Squad.
Have we?
Don't. I love that movie.
We did review The Mummy. Can we re-review The Mummy just for funsies?
We can review the Scorpion King.
Oh, God, yes. No. Oh, gosh. Well, I guess stay tuned or tune in next week for our review of Hellraiser. Sorry, this one was a disappointing start to horror month, but that's all right. We'll rebound.
It is what it is.
Yep. If there's nothing else, somebody end the show.
Tell your friends.
All right.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Good day, sir. Sir, I said good day.
Yeah. See ya.
Hasta la vista, baby.
This has been
the Movie Review Crew Podcast. Remember to find us online on your favorite social media apps and go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
Yeah. Linger, man.
Yeah, totally.
Linger.
Hardcore.